All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What the
I wish you hadn't pulled this on me earlier. He just put on purple shades and a fedora. Just and he said,
is there any other kind of shades to wear?
I mean, apparently not. And now that you've got like the slick back hair and everything, whew, you're set. Like
I'm going for the 1970s like blues guitar rocker.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this a blues thing or like a smooth jazz or what are we really going for here? I wouldn't be surprised if you just pulled out a sax right now.
Oh my God.
So, man.
David, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing? You ready to get into some hard pounding pressing news?
Well, are we going to tell everybody about our new Penn Cinema Podcast motto?
Yeah, we should.
or was that just between us girls?
I mean, we might as well share it with the world. What are secrets, right? So we were discussing.
We're about to get printed. We're about to get this motto printed on 10,000 t-shirts. I didn't tell David yet.
And that motto is?
That motto is the Penn Cinema Podcast. Sometimes two half-wits don't always make a whole. I used to work for a guy named Jimmy Forrestal, and he would always make fun of us. I was an intern, and then I was an entry-level guy, and he was some kind of higher-up. And he would always laugh and say, you know what our problem is, Penn? Sometimes two half-wits don't always make a whole. I don't really understand exactly what he means by that, but I'm pretty sure he was making fun of me.
Oh, man. Dude, do we want to get just into the big thing or do we want to hold it?
I think we have to get right into it. I mean, it's all the other news that we have is like news that it's only news because we're making a podcast and we need something to talk about. Oh my God, did you hear? There's only two actual pieces of news in my opinion. The one is the whole Warner Brothers thing, and the other is this monster, which I'm, you know, anxiously awaiting word from the studio to hear, you know, their thoughts on that. But let's start with Warner Brothers. I mean, this week there was a big announcement that Warner Brothers is releasing all 17 of their titles for 2021. They're releasing them what's called day and date with HBO Max. Day and date means, of course, that the movie will be released in theaters on the same day that it is available in HBO Max, on HBO Max. So you can watch it on TV the same day. So you're going to have to choose if you want to watch it on TV or watch it on a movie screen.
Yeah. Now this is interesting because they're not charging anything extra to put it on HBO, and so it's not like Disney Plus where it was another $30. It was $30 to watch it at home. This is, you know, if you have HBO Max, you have access to it. Now, I don't know if it's like this for all of them, but I know for Wonder Woman, it's a 30-day exclusive. Something like that. Like it'll be 30 days on HBO Max, and then after that, it goes to rental services. So I don't know if they're following that with all of these. We talked a little bit last week, and I think you said you were on board with this. Like you liked this approach.
We didn't talk about this last week.
Well, we talked about Wonder Woman, though, didn't we?
Oh, right. Yeah, the Wonder Woman thing. The Wonder Woman thing to me is. actually, I feel the same way about all of it as I do about Wonder Woman, which is it's irrelevant to normal movie because this is not – it goes back to our conversation about The Irishman on Netflix. This is not a long-term viable strategy for movie studios to make and release movies for $200-$400 million and then release them on TV at home where they're going to make a few bucks. They're not going to make $400 million on a movie that is being released at HBO. So what this shows me is another example of a streaming platform that is betting everything, putting all their chips to the middle of the table to, in HBO's case, not win the streaming war, but just stay in the damn war. You know, like Netflix and Prime are kind of the two big dogs that appear to me to be winning the streaming wars. Hulu is hanging on. HBO is an iconic, HBO is not going anywhere. But what they're fighting for, and I think what they're failing, is HBO Max. So I feel like the executives, you know, are sort of willing to shoot this silver bullet of saving HBO Max at the expense of knowing that they'll make dramatically less money over the course of 2021.
Mm. Yeah, maybe trying to recoup whatever they can in subscriptions charges, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they got an awfully long way to go. I can contribute something to this conversation that's different from what everybody has sort of read online. I did have a pretty high up Warner Brothers executive reach out to me on the phone. Honestly, it was just a few hours after this news broke. And he was going through and calling a lot of exhibitors. I certainly wasn't the only one that he called. And he was trying to communicate a few important messages, okay, which some of them are good news or at least make this headline easier to swallow. And some of it is not – it doesn't make any difference to me, but it's just interesting to know their thought process. The one that helps make this easier for me to swallow is that they are – and it's funny how like the media doesn't report this in any of the media is gladly – there was a New York Times opinion story that just got my blood boiling. This woman basically came out and said the same old thing about how, like, this is the end of movie going as we know it. And the studios have finally realized that the theatrical avenue is no longer – people don't go to the movies anymore and they should send all the movies at home, which it obviously not only is just wrong, but it's also – it just shows her ignorance, like in terms of movie going. I mean, it was an incredibly ignorant piece to come out of the New York Times. But anyway, the message that I got from the executive that helped me swallow this pill was the studio is going to roll out their movies, and I'm not going to use any numbers because I think it's illegal, but it's definitely poor form for me to comment publicly about my film rent, what I pay the studio. So we all know film rent. Maybe we don't, so I'll review it. A lot of people say, well, how much does this movie cost you to get? Well, it doesn't cost me anything to get it unless there's like maybe an old classic movie where I pay the studio $100 and then I get access to the movie. I have the license for a week or 2 weeks or whatever the deal is. But most movies that open, I pay to the studio a percentage of my ticket sales. So I don't pay any money up front. And then if I make $100, typically I send to the studios something north of 60%. So I make $100 in movie tickets and I have to send to XYZ studio something usually north of $60. If it's a smaller movie, it might be less than $60. If it's a blockbuster, it's going to be more. And what the message we're getting from Warner Brothers, and frankly, we've already seen it with Wonder Woman, is that the film rent, the percentage, so that percentage that I pay the studio is known as film rent, the film rent is going to be dramatically, in a meaningful way, lower. So when I sell $100 worth of movie tickets, I'm going to keep more of it than I would have in the old days.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good news. That's good news for us. Although, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I would rather pay a higher film rent on a bigger box office than a smaller film rent on a smaller box office. But it acknowledges the importance of the theatrical relationship. It acknowledges and puts their money where their mouth is when they say exhibitors are an important partner to us. Then they are, like I said, putting their money where their mouth is and making good. And it's not just lip service to the exhibitors. I do believe, I mean, the guy I talked to is someone who I've been working with for about 10 years now. And I believe him. I mean, he's a good, straightforward, straight shooter, always gives it to me straight. Another message that he shared with me there that you can't, you don't really see by reading Google's account of this is that there was a lot of discussion inside Warner Brothers on how this should be rolled out. So in other words, okay, we're doing this with Wonder Woman, and now we're doing day and date in 2021. Should that be the first quarter? Should that be January, February, March? So all of our first quarter titles are day and date with HBO. And then if we need to extend it, then our second quarter titles will also be HBO. And then if we need to extend it, our third quarter titles will also go to HBO. And what the guy said to me was he really wishes they had done that so that they could keep some flexibility. But what he and I both speculated is that the decision at the end of the day is you tell everybody the worst news, you know, that it's all 12 months, and then it's easier to sort of, I don't want to say be the hero because nobody's going to call Warner Brothers the hero after this, but it's easier to come back from 12 months and say, oh, actually, starting with Dune, you know, or starting with Top Gun, we're actually going to release it on HBO. Maybe it's 3 days later, and then the next title might be 2 weeks later, and then the next title might be a month later, you know, and then they can go back to, I don't want to say business as usual, but they can go back to a little bit more of a theatrical window. So what they've done is, as it currently stands, Warner Brothers will have no theatrical window. Theater owner, I think we've talked on this show many times, theater owners think that a 90-day theatrical window is an important milestone. I think I've said on this show that I don't really buy that. I'm a huge fan of a 90-day window. And frankly, that's because I don't care. You know, if the movie's big enough and good enough, then the studios are going to give it a 90-day window. And if it's small enough that the studios are anxious to get it online, then I probably don't care. I'm probably trying to get rid of the movie. I think we've talked on this show every Monday. Most of what I'm doing is arguing with studios because I want to get rid of their movie and they want me to hold it for another week. So I don't think 90 days is something that matters. The problem is Warner Brothers went from 90 days to 0 days. You know, and that's what was so that's what was so stunning about this announcement was how quickly they went. The third thing that my friend that I work with told me from Warner Brothers that I think is, again, it doesn't make it any better for me. So the first two things were sort of some additional information that helps me understand and sort of swallow the pill, as I said, a little bit easier. But this third thing doesn't make any difference to me, but it's interesting to hear the thought process. And when I first heard it, I thought to myself, fair enough. And that's this. Who's playing movies in December of the major studios? Who's currently releasing movies? It's mostly Warner Brothers and Universal. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk in a minute that Sony is releasing Monster Hunter. But basically, since we reopened at the end of August, it's only been Universal and Warner Brothers that have put content, meaningful content out there. And the executive that I spoke to sort of said, like, hey, we're a little tired of being the only people, you know, we're on an island and we're, you know, getting a little far out on a limb. And, you know, everybody's going to hate us. But if we took our products and waited for a normal environment with a theatrical window, we would be doing like Disney and pulling all of our films. And maybe we'll see you next summer. And then maybe you'll be open, or maybe you won't. Maybe you will have gone out of business, you know, because you didn't have any movies. And again, he wasn't saying that to me. It was more of like almost a rhetorical question. But I felt like I could relate or not relate. I'm not a studio, but I felt like empathetic to his position that Warner Brothers had really stepped forward, you know, with releasing some titles in an environment where at least half, if not more, of the movie theaters in America every weekend theaters close. So the good news is there's some good news from this past weekend. Croods overperformed in its opening week and overperformed in its sophomore frame. So we think that this indicates well for Wonder Woman 1984, which, by the way, didn't make it into our news, but I'll report right here. All the early reviews of Wonder Woman 84 are amazing. It seems to be almost universal that the critics who are seeing early presentations of Wonder Woman 1984 are on board. So it looks like Christmas could be decent. It looks like Christmas could be, or could at least continue the trend forward. So I felt like that was like when I heard Warner Brothers' position, I sort of felt like, oh, okay, fair enough, you know. And then the upside to all of this that my partners and I are telling each other is like, I don't love this, but I'm really glad to know that I'm going to have Warner Brothers content all through 2021. You know, especially looking at some of the early months, like January, February, March, like that's going to be a tough period. And I have to quote my old friend Bruce Blatt. You remember I've talked with him about him before. He was my sales guy for Warner Brothers, and he was the guy who famously would be screaming at before I even picked it. He would start screaming. He would dial my number and start screaming at me. And somewhere in the middle of his tirade, I would answer the phone, and he'd be mid tirade. But Bruce, every time I tried to get something from Warner Brothers, and it, like, God forbid I tried to come off of a Warner Brothers movie, he had this soapbox, and he would stand on his soapbox, and he would always tell me, why are you going to screw me over for one of these other studios? And I would say, Bruce, what are you talking about? And he said, who else is giving you 26 movies a year? And the answer is nobody. Nobody else releases as many movies as Warner Brothers. They're currently our number two studio, behind obviously Disney, and they crank out movies. That's what they've always done. They're really good at it. Some of their movies are big, like Wonder Woman, and some of them are not. But another week, pretty much, you get a Warner Brothers movie, and that's what sells movie tickets. I mean, having that content, that's our product.
Yeah.
You know, and we need that. So the upside to all of this madness, and I get it, Drew and I certainly vented our feelings to each other, and I got a small bit of notoriety in the exhibition industry because I sent around this, it was like the beginning of Jerry Maguire, I sent around this memo about how Disney or Warner Brothers is really good, you know, and it was when Warner Brothers announced that Wonder Woman was going on HBO, and I sort of, you know, articulated this word about how it was really great that we had that option in the theaters. So then when I first heard this news, my new guy who replaced Bruce Blatt is named Mike, and Mike's a good guy. I like working with Mike. He's really good, very professional. So I sent him an email that said, and this is what it said in its entirety. I take back everything nice I ever said about Warner Brothers. PK, and just signed off, and it just hit send. And you can tell the guy's a real professional, because an hour later, I needed digital keys for some classic movie that we were playing. And so I sent him this a little bit obnoxious email about how I take back everything nice I ever said about Warner Brothers. And then like 2 hours later, I was like, oh, and we need keys for Christmas Vacation in Lititz. And to show you what a professional he is, he ignored the first email and very wisely probably just clicked delete and then immediately replied to the second email. So I give my kudos. Kudos. It's always good to know when to ignore an obnoxious email from Penn.
That's great. Hey, I didn't realize that they were given a, you know, a break on rental and stuff. That's great. That's super cool. It definitely puts another light on the whole situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I genuinely believe, and you can read between the lines in the CEO of AMC's comment. You can genuinely believe that that Warner Brothers knows the best way for them to make money is with exhibitors. So I feel like they are, as hard as it is to say this out loud and at the risk of being mocked, I do feel like they're trying to be partners with exhibitors as best they can.
Right, right. Well, apparently AMC does not agree with you. And they are pitching a huge fit about this. They said they're going to go to Warner Brothers to see if they even show any of their movies this year, which, I mean, what else are they going to show? And also, aren't they the ones that kind of fully shut? Did AMC shut down, or was it just Regal that's currently shut down?
It was Regal.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But where did you hear that story?
I got that one from...
Because I want to push back.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, where did you hear that story? Because I want to push back a little bit. I saw a quote from the CEO of AMC that seemed pretty balanced. I mean, obviously he was unhappy and it was not like a pleasant quote. It was a little bit more balanced in terms of like, he didn't say we're going to not show their content. Have they changed their position now?
Let me see if I can find it here. Hold on. Okay, this is the quote I have. These coronavirus impacted times are uncharted waters for all of us, which is why AMC signed on to an HBO Max exception to customary practices for one film only, Wonder Woman 1984, being released by Warner Brothers at Christmas when the pandemic appears that it will be at its height. Let's see, Aaron, the CEO. This is a quote from him. However, Warner Brothers now hopes to do this for all their 2021 theatrical movies, despite the likelihood that with vaccines right around the corner, the theater business is expected to recover. Clearly, WarnerMedia intends to sacrifice a considerable portion of the profitability of its movie studio division and that of its production partners and filmmakers to subsidize its HBO Max startup. As for AMC, we will do all in our power to ensure that Warner's does not do so at our expense. We will aggressively pursue economic terms that preserve our business. And that's from Adam Aaron, CEO and president of AMC Entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% consistent with what I just reported. Yeah. In other words, they want better film rent, and they're pissed that it was the whole year long, and they're going to get aggressive about trying to get better rent. But I didn't hear anything. That's the same quote that I saw, and I didn't hear anything in that about not showing Warner movies.
I think that might have been a conclusion drawn by the article here, that they were thinking of not showing, showing anything.
I think that's a leap. I think that's an unfounded leap. Mm.
Well, speaking of unfounded leaps, Penn...
let me just make one more comment. The only way I would boycott AMC, or I'm sorry, Warner Bros., would be if we were already closed. I recently, earlier this year, boycotted Universal because of what they did with Trolls. Mm. But we were closed for business, and the boycott only lasted as long as it lasted until it was time that I needed another movie.
It fits. Okay, so like I said, making waves, Penn. Are you ready for a real jump to conclusions here? Jamie Foxx.
Is this a, or is, does this, Does this mark our return to hard-hitting journalism?
Yeah. I mean, before we were just kind of shooting the gaff, you know, whatever. This is real news. So get ready. Remember when Jamie Foxx was like, hey, I'm playing Electro in the new Spider-Man movie? And everyone was like, what? And then we reported that Tobey Maguire was back and Andrew Garfield was back. Mm-hmm. Well, now, in new interviews, people are like, Jamie Foxx, are you playing the new Electro? And he's like, what? I can't confirm nor deny that. So, I mean, what does that really mean? Do you think it was all...
What does that mean? I mean, what do you make of that?
To me, that says that he... Well, maybe he didn't get in trouble, but he probably spoke too soon about it. Now he's kind of like, well, you know, I mean, I'm kind of doing something, but I can't, you know, whatever. I can't really talk.
I like Jamie Foxx. I hope that turns out to be true.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is. I think it's just a matter of like secrecy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now, you like speaking of secrecy because it's just segueing one thing to another. Scream 5. Probably one of the most top secret movies ever that we've ever heard of. So top secret that apparently the producer William Sherrick revealed that multiple fake scripts were given out to the actors so that nobody knew the real ending to the movie. Now, that's some crazy stuff. Do you think that Scream 5...
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, but I'm going to make fun of it. Do you think Scream 5 warrants this level of secrecy?
Well, listen, you're missing the bigger point. Oh. You're missing the bigger point. Oh. Obviously, it does not.
No, clearly.
Right?
Clearly.
Right. Okay, riddle me this. Why are we talking about Scream 5 right now on the Penn Cinema podcast?
Because there's no other good news. Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about Scream 5 on the Penn Cinema podcast because, speaking with Cinema Blend, producer William Sherrick revealed multiple fake scripts were handed out to the cast and crew of Scream 5 in order to keep its ending a secret. So, good for you. Obviously, somebody like had the idea, like, hey, let's pretend people care about our ending. And then let's go to like a funny, you know, extreme to keep the ending secret. And then let's release that as a publicity stunt. Like, you know, so I kind of feel like, good for you. You know, like, all right, you want to be ridiculous about your ridiculous movie? Good for you.
What if they go the route of Clue and they release all the separate endings?
Oh, God.
Just like all over the place.
Really remember mean. The drama we had with that when we all had to watch different versions and
such drama.
Somebody wrote in. We had somebody, a podcast listener. I don't think it was Top 10 Sarah, but it might have been.
Yeah.
And they were like really like adamant that we needed to like watch different endings or have opinions about the different endings or something. I'm still not even really sure if there are different endings or if that's just something you guys are making fun of me. I feel like you and Sarah probably had like a secret email conversation like, hey, let's tell Penn there's different endings to Clue.
Let's see how much we can pull over them on this time. How long we can make this
video. Right. All right. Well, listen, Clive Barker has successfully reclaimed the rights to Hellraiser. Could there be more? Are there more Hellraisers coming? Could it be?
Who would have guessed?
Pinch me!
Of course there's more coming, and now they're going to be directed by Clive Baker, or Barker, whatever his name is.
Do we like that? Do we care?
I don't care. I've never seen any of them. Have you ever seen any of them?
No. Yeah, I think I did. I saw the first one and parts of the second one.
Okay.
Speaking of, movies that I may or may not have seen, but I don't remember seeing it, Universal adds Van Helsing to their growing list of unconnected monster movies. What?
Yeah. Well, we've got the Invisible Woman. We have the Wolfman movie coming. Then we have Bride of Frankenstein. And now Van Helsing. And because before they were trying to make the Dark Universe with like Tom Cruise's Mummy and stuff, and they were all going to be connected.
Right.
And now they're like, let's just make monster movies and just not worry about connecting them. And maybe they'll be good. Surprise.
I like that thinking.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you a secret?
Hold on. Let me get close.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. Okay, here's the deal.
All right. Okay.
I don't know anything about Van Helsing. Is that a monster or a mystery, or is that some, like, you tell me they're making a werewolf movie or a Dracula movie or an Invisible Man movie? Like,
I'm pretty sure Van Helsing is the guy who killed Dracula.
Wasn't there a Van Helsing movie that was like a teenage comedy?
There was a Van Helsing movie that starred Hugh Jackman.
That sounds awful. Was it awful?
Yeah, it was not good. That sounds awful. Was it awful? It came out in 2004, and I think he kills Dracula in the movie. And maybe a werewolf? I don't know. He haunts monsters. That's the...
There's a great family quote about New Jersey.
I cannot wait to figure out how this relates to Van Helsing.
Oh, it relates. It relates, baby. Let me tell you. This is like peanut butter and jam. Okay. Peanut butter and jelly. It's like, as Forrest Gump said, it's like peas and carrots. This ties right in. Here it is. Me and some of my friends participated in a bike race in New York City.
Okay.
One of those friends may or may not have initials that rhyme with Mystery Gobble. And I'm not saying it's the Mystery Gobble. I'm just saying it might rhyme with it.
Clearly.
So the logistics of this race were challenging. So we got ourselves a hotel room in New Jersey. We got to the hotel, checked in, and then we had to drive into New York City to register. So we drive into New York City, we register, we drive over to my parents' house in Brooklyn and get a couple pizzas, and we're sitting on the stoop with my parents. And my dad says, "Where are you guys staying tonight?" And I said, "Oh, we got a hotel in whatever town." And he goes, "What, in New Jersey?" And I said, "Yeah." And then he looks at me real serious, and he goes, "How is it awful, just awful?" So whenever something bad happens, that little gang of friends, we always say, "It was awful, just awful." So when I ask you if there was a Van Helsing movie, was there a Van Helsing movie and was it awful? The only correct answer is yes, it was awful, just awful.
Wow.
Speaking of awful, how about a new Toxic Avenger?
This is crazy. Do you remember the Toxic Avengers?
I should. I don't like that segue because I actually really like Peter Dinklage.
But do you like Toxic Avengers?
Not really. What do you mean, like the garbage can kids?
No, it was it was that TNA movie company that made Beeline Film that was just an excuse to film topless girls and monsters and Toxic Avenger, and then somehow the Toxic Avenger spawned a kids cartoon that was about like keeping, it was like basically a knockoff of Captain Planet type thing. But apparently Peter Dinklage is set to star in the new Toxic Avengers. Now we don't know if he'll star as Toxie, the Toxic Avenger, or someone else, but I don't know. If you're familiar with Toxic Avengers, write in podcast@penncinema.com.
And here's my opinion about it. And this is, we talked earlier in the show about making leaps. Yeah. Here's a huge leap. I think Peter Dinklage is a legit talented actor And I think he chooses his roles carefully. Like he has a good track record of good movies.
Yeah.
For a long time. So here's the leap that I'm going to make. If Peter Dinklage is going to star in the new Toxic Avenger, makes me want to kind of sit up and take the Toxic Avenger seriously. Like, it makes me think, oh, that might be an actual movie that we end up actually watching.
Yeah.
No?
No, I mean, I'm more interested with him attached than I was when he wasn't. I mean, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this could actually be a Toxic Avengers that you could watch with, you know, other people and not be embarrassed.
Probably not.
Nah. All right, so before we get to the other big news, let's jump to a little bit of small news here. Oscar Isaac is set to play Solid Snake in the new Metal Gear Solid movie, which I don't know if you're familiar with Metal Gear Solid. I think it has a sci-fi twist, but it's basically a Tom Clancy video game type thing with lots of stealth. And so I'm cool with Oscar Isaac playing a super soldier spy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally down with that. I like him. Metal Gear Solid, which I know very little about, is very, very, very popular. So let's get it done. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it good. Unlike other video game movies, segue, Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I read this. I tried to get a comment real quick from Sony about this, but she hasn't written me back, which is fine. It's Sunday night, and she's probably not glued to her email the way I am. But Monster Hunter World, you want to review this? You want to intro this?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it, but
cool.
Apparently there's some pushback.
Yeah. So Monster Hunter the movie is off of a franchise of games called Monster Hunter, whatever. The newest one being called Monster Hunter World. Now, on Steam, you can put like reviews that change the scores of video games. Steam is a platform to buy video games on PC. And because of how Monster Hunter is performing in Asia right now, the video game is getting review bombed for some racist comments inside the movie. So because there's no real outlet for these people to go and complain about the movie, they're doing so on the video game platform to, like, because it'll get eyes on it, people will see
it,
and it'll affect the company that is paying for the movie. So the racist comment, it's a joke between two soldiers in the movie, and it's very clear. If you look it up, you can find out what it is. It's very clear. I don't understand how they could have thought this joke would not be racist, but even to me, who doesn't know like the backstory of like the heritage and stuff, like I see that, but apparently it has a much deeper, worse meaning to, you know, the actual Chinese people. So rightfully so, they're upset. And China has a very strict, like, rules for what movies can be in their theaters. And so apparently theaters are choosing to pull this movie on their own, and they're trying to put out a new version of the movie that's edited, but because of this mishap, it's looking like China will not even authorize the edited version to go into the theaters, thus causing the Chinese market to be closed on this movie, which is where I think they were thinking where it would make its money, because it's not going to make its money in the U.S.
Right.
It's the audience here for this is not what it would be in Asia. The company that makes the video game, Capcom, is now distancing themselves from the film, saying how the film is not connected to the game, like they bought the rights, whatever, but we didn't have influence in the game or in the movie. So it's really just turning out to be a huge mess.
Can you imagine how frustrating that would be to be a Sony executive who maybe didn't have anything to do with making the movie, right? And you're the president of distribution, let's say, and for the first time in however many weeks, Sony has a proper movie to play, and now you got to deal with this. As if 2020 hasn't been horrible enough for all of us. But in this case, you know, it looks like it's going to end on an even worse note for Sony. I mean, what I think will be interesting for us stateside is I mean, can we assume that the version we're going to open on Christmas Day is going to be edited?
I would think maybe not.
I mean, do you think?
I would hope so, but this is the type of dumb joke that I think a lot of people who aren't like clued in or I don't want to use the word, but quote unquote woke or like thinking about this kind of thing might even really pick up on.
Yeah. Do you think? So I feel like. I felt like Monster Hunter was going to be, Wonder Woman's going to be the big movie on Christmas, and then you have News of the World and Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Two very different movies with very different audiences, and I felt like those two movies were going to compete for the number two slot. Am I overestimating Monster Hunter?
Well, there's not much else coming out, so I don't think so. I don't think that Monster Hunter is going to do well. But I wouldn't have thought it would do well on its own. It might do okay because there's nothing else to see, and I certainly think there is an audience for Monster Hunter, especially with the lack of other things.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say because, like, I would say, I could see a lot of, like, teenage boys going to see Monster Hunter, but I could also go see them going to see Wonder Woman. So it's kind of a
right.
I don't really know.
Yeah. I think Monster Hunter is probably going to sell a lot of tickets to people who showed up for Wonder Woman and couldn't get in because it was sold out.
Right. And a thing to keep in mind, the theaters aren't holding as many people as before. So if people come out, it's going to sell out a theater a lot easier than it would have before.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. All right. Let's get into trailers.
Okay. So we're going to open this week with a trailer that Penn told me was called, Mystery Sky, to which I spent about 5 to 10 minutes looking for this, could not find it, only to discover the movie's actually called Midnight Sky. And so I haven't seen this trailer. Tell me about this movie starring George Clooney.
Well, first of all, every week I dedicate some time in my weekly schedule to what can I do to mess with David? What can I do to throw him for a loop? So the actual name of the movie is called Midnight Sky. It's a science fiction movie starring George Clooney that comes out on Netflix on December 23rd. But it opens in Penn Cinema on December 11th. That's this coming Friday.
Oh.
And yeah. And I mean, whatever. Again, this is like the third time on this one episode that I'm saying this out loud. But I feel like... Or that I'm saying that I feel funny saying something out loud. I'm enjoying dealing with Netflix. You know, the movies are not our number one movies, but they tend to be good movies. They tend to be, you know, really high quality movies. Mank did not do a ton of business, but I think it was one, you know, I know you didn't like it because you were bored or whatever, but it's going to win Oscars, and Midnight Sky is not that type of movie. It's not going to win Oscars, but the acting, the production, everything looks really great. So I have been enjoying the freedom that comes with, the weird new world that we're working in. And I like working with Netflix, and, you know, they open a movie on December 11th and let me play it for 2 weeks, pretty cheap film rent, and off we go. So Midnight Sky is a science fiction movie. It's not my trailer of the week, but it's a good trailer. It's definitely interesting, and I recommend you go watch it.
Cool. I'll have to check it out. I'm going to follow it up with a foreign film called Seobok, I think is how you say it. S-E-O-B-O-K. Did you get a chance to watch this trailer?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
It's an interesting – I thought that it could have been more interesting, but the premise is that they use stem cells to grow an artificial human being, and then they're transporting him from one place to another, and nefarious people try and take him. So this agent guy and this artificial guy are on the run, and it becomes a thing of, like, is this artificial person a real person or just an asset? And how do we look at this? How do we look at this thing? Which I thought was an interesting enough concept. However, at the very end, you start to see maybe this guy has superpowers. And I was like, I don't know if I necessarily needed to go down that route. Like, you could have started off at the very beginning with that, but, like, it kind of seems like it's developed over time. I kind of just liked the ethical dilemma they were dealing with at the beginning. But what did you think?
This trailer did nothing for me.
Cool.
The only thing I liked about this trailer is it was Korean, which was, you know, kind of fun to see, you know, a different look, a different take on, you know, their trailer is noticeably different than every other trailer. That sometimes the trailers kind of run together, and I don't know. This movie to me was whatever. Right. It's never going to see the light of day at Penn Cinema or, frankly, many, if any, movie theaters in America, and probably rightly so.
Okay. Well, what's this? This next one here is my trailer of the week.
Same. Okay. Blithe Spirit. I was so excited about it. It comes out in February of 2021, and I have two opinions about that before we talk about the trailer. I was so excited by this trailer, I immediately started Googling it while the trailer was still playing because I wanted to open it for Christmas. I wanted it like to be a December release. But that's a little segue to go back to what we were talking about earlier. This movie is not from Warner Brothers, but it's a good example of how, like, at some point we're going to turn – this is a good example of a movie that – is on the calendar. It's not a blockbuster. It's not a major release. It's not a huge picture, but it's a good quality movie that as movie audiences begin to come back to the big screens, this is going to be out there waiting for you. So tell us what you thought about the trailer, specifically the trailer.
Oh, I thought it looks great. I thought at first it was going to be maybe similar to, why is the name escaping me? With that doesn't matter,
like a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, like a Wes Anderson movie, or it was gonna be like with Leonardo DiCaprio and a Roaring Twenties film. But anyway, it's a comedy, and I thought the comedy in the trailer at least was good. I thought it hit home. The premise is a guy is. Needs to make a screenplay of his books, and he just can't write. He can't find his muse. He discovers a fake madam of the spirits. What's the word for them?
Fortune teller type.
Yeah. Man, my brain tonight. I'm sorry. But he finds a fake fortune teller, and he's like, well, I'm just going to hire her as a joke, and it'll give me inspiration. So he has her over. She does a seance at his house. Comedy ensues. Turns out she actually raises the spirit of his ex-wife, who was the person who influenced him to write all of his stuff. And so now he and his current wife are living with the spirit of his ex-wife. And it's kind of like a great actors. I'm really looking forward to this movie. I think it looks like a lot of fun. I don't think it's going to be a blockbuster or anything by any means, but I do think that it looks like a good time, a well-made movie.
I totally agree on all counts. Did you ever see that movie Death Becomes Her?
Yes. Yeah.
This looks like a better version of that. You know, it's not the same storyline, but it's a little bit similar. And this looks like a better, funnier, more higher quality film than that. But yeah, I totally agree. Were you trying to think of The Great Gatsby?
Yes, I was. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so it does start out with a little bit of that feel, but clearly goes into closer to something like a Wes Anderson movie in terms of like beautiful colors, beautifully shot, really talented cast. Did you ever see a musical called Nine?
No.
It's so good. If anybody's listening who enjoys musicals, this movie Nine is unbelievable. And Judi Dench plays a lady host, like a vaudeville host, and who's at the Cage aux Folles or whatever. But she's like an entertainer. And anyway, her character is really similar to this. And that's what reminded me. She basically must have, you know, channeled the same sort of character development for that. But anyway, the last trailer of the week, so we highly recommend Blithe Spirit. That's a really good trailer. Check it out. The last trailer of the week, I'm interested to hear what you think about this. It's from Lionsgate called Fatale.
Yeah. I thought, while not the best made trailer, I really like the premise, and I think that if the premise is done well, regardless of the trailer, this could be an interesting film to watch. What did you think?
I felt like it looked like an old 80s movie or yeah. like a 90s movie.
Yeah.
And not in like a good, not in like a really good way. I don't know. I felt like I'll probably end up watching it because it looked interesting and it has a pretty good cast or whatever. But it's sort of, I don't know. There was a hard to articulate element missing from this trailer. I can't quite put my finger on it. But it reminded me a little bit too much of sort of the a cheap version of, you know, what was that movie with Sharon Stone and Michael Douglas? But it just seemed like I feel maybe this helps. I feel like I've seen this movie before.
Now, I very rarely like anything with Hilary Swank in it, except for like Million Dollar Baby and stuff. I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan. And right. this does start her. So I was a little turned off from the movie by that. However, the premise of this is that a guy sleeps with a woman. Turns out she's a detective. There's a break-in or something at his house. She's the detective. And it's like, did he scorn her? And this is her way of getting revenge or not? And that's kind of – I felt like the trailer couldn't decide what it was selling us. Was it selling us that she was after him or that they just had a tumultuous relationship and there was also something else going on?
And I'll tell you, that was my favorite part of the trailer. That was the one thing that really sells me on this movie, is that I watched the trailer, I understand the flavor of the movie, but I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
Which I see as kind of a selling point. Like, okay, I'm kind of intrigued. Like, all right, I do kind of want to see what's the deal here.
Huh.
Yeah, so.
Interesting. All right, well, let's move into our review for this week. Now, I did not see this movie, but you said, before we started the movies, you said, if ever there was a scholar that wrote anything, you could easily be compared to the opinions you have for this movie.
Right.
What did I say? I don't even know. I got lost.
What I said to David before we started the show was that I can tell you what I think about this movie, because to me, it was pretty clear. My feeling on this movie is that it's a good example of a movie that did not I think we've talked on this show before about how disappointing it is when you think a movie is going to be one thing and then you get in there and it's another one.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So I thought this movie from the trailers, I knew that it risked being cheesy and I knew that it risked being predictable and that kind of stuff. But I thought it was a comedy. I thought it was going to be a comedy with a cheesy happy ending. And I guess in a way it was, but the comment that I made to Drew after I watched this movie was kids, and when I say kids, I mean teenagers and guys in their 20s, are going to come and watch this movie, and frankly, they're disappointed.
Oh.
You know, guys my age who sort of appreciate, like it was cute. The movie was, the acting was spectacular, the writing was okay. Spectacular might be too strong of a word, but the cast was really good is what I'm trying to say. The acting was good. It was thoughtful. It was cute. It was a feel good, you know, movie. And I thought it was touching and I thought it was cute. So if you're old enough to sort of appreciate like cutesy, then, there was definitely a few times when I legit laughed out loud. And I would use the word fun. It was a fun movie, but it's the kind of movie like maybe I would like it, and I'll bet you like Marley's friends probably wouldn't like it. Unless they were in the mood and they were like, hey, let's go see this movie about two brothers trying to reconnect.
Instead of let's go see this comedy.
Instead of let's go see this movie about this brother that steals a goat and goes running out to the car and always has beer bottles thrown at him. Because you watch a trailer and all the whole trailer is them getting into, you know, trouble in races with people throwing stuff at them.
Right. Right.
But what the movie's really about is these, what's the other element of this. And I was really looking forward to your thoughts on this. So when this movie's available online in about 5 minutes, then you should watch it and tell me what this is. Also, by the way, another example, and I'm always honest on this show. I complain, you know, I make fun of people for watching Wonder Woman on TV at home. That's just a waste of a killer movie. But Half Brothers, which is the movie that we're reviewing right now, Half Brothers is an example of a movie that if you watch it at home, you will enjoy it just as much as I enjoyed watching it on the big screen. You know, if you watch Wonder Woman on your TV, you're going to miss a ton of quality movie going, yeah, you know, by not watching it with in a theatrical scene. But Half Brothers is a good example of maybe that's just good, just as good at home. So that's why when the time comes and you do watch this movie, I said the movie was about two brothers trying to reconnect. It's really about fathers and sons connecting. The main character guy has trouble connecting with his soon-to-be stepson, and his comedy brother is the stepson to the main character's father, essentially. Not the stepson, but the second son. So the father-son relationships dynamics are heavy in this movie. When I say heavy, I don't mean like hard to watch. I mean like they're everywhere throughout the movie. So that's, I think you sort of get a sense of what I'm trying to say. It was a funny movie, but mostly it was like a cute, funny drama movie. It was definitely not a comedy.
Interesting.
But let me say this. If you're in the mood for that and you know now what I'm saying, I do recommend the movie. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I watched it the whole way through. I didn't leave to go slowly refill my coffee. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. But I'm a 50-year-old dad, you know, and I think, you know, a dad, you know, can probably, you know, take something from this movie that a 21-year-old guy can't. I'm just saying.
There you go. I think I'm still interested in seeing it. I think I would have been down for that. I had gotten the opinion that the marketing was going to be a lie from the beginning and was actually expecting more along the lines of what you said.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been lied to a lot by these indie films. And so I'm just like, this is what's going to happen here. So
shocked.
I know. Right?
I'm shocked.
Who would have thought they're trying to get people this? Especially after, what was that movie we reviewed like a month or two ago that we thought was going to be hilarious and then turned out to be really, like, really heavy?
Yeah.
Where they were cooking.
Yeah, I forget.
Yeah.
What was it?
The one where it was about them like cooking the night. It was Night Shift. Was it Night Shift?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I will say this movie, Half Brothers, is funnier. The Last Shift.
Yeah.
This movie, Half Brothers, is funnier than The Last Shift and also a lot more fun, like in general. Like it's not a dark, literally or emotionally, it's not a dark movie.
Yeah.
So that's our movie review for Half Brothers. We're going to get to listeners' notes, questions, and answers in just a moment. But before we do, David, I have some late breaking news.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you? Yeah.
This just in. Hot off the presses.
So my contact at Sony apparently does check her email on Sundays, just like us, I guess just like everybody. And she did confirm in her words, let me get this, use the correct verb. Hi, Penn. I was told we have taken the scene out of the film.
Okay.
So my question to her was, what was exactly? I said, what's the deal with this Monster Hunter? Are you hearing the stuff about it being racist? Or is that just in China? she wrote me back. And it appears that they will be taking out the offensive scene. So that'll be interesting to see if that. So I have experience with offensive movies where they delete the scene and that's not good enough.
Oh.
Like I'm failing to remember exactly, but I feel like I went through this before with a movie that we actually did end up pulling because of the public outcry. So anyway, that's the update for Monster Hunter. Listeners, notes, questions, and answers. We have a couple good ones this week. Are you excited about my news from Connor Not Connor?
I cannot wait to hear more about this. Tell me more about Connor Not Connor, well, and what he's doing.
David, I don't know how to tell you this. So I'm just going to come right out and tell you. Me and Connor Not Connor are doing our own movies podcast.
No!
Okay, that may have been overstated. Connor Not Connor is doing his own podcast.
Nice.
Oh, wait a minute. That may have been overstated as well.
Oh.
Let me try again. Connor Not Connor is doing a project for school which requires him to do a podcast.
Oh.
And it requires him to do some kind of I'm reading between the lines. I'm filling in the gaps here from the exchange that I had with Connor Not Connor. And he needs to do a real podcast and have a guest.
Nice.
On said podcast. So he wrote me an email and said, do you have any ideas? Do you think I could get David Moulton to be my first and only guest? And I said, Connor, baby, my man, we can do so much better.
How could you aim higher than the David Moulton?
I mean, there's only one notch higher.
Really? Who was that?
Yep. So he's going to have Marley on the show. So, you know what I was just thinking, though? Actually, I should ask him I'm fooling around because I think it's fun. I'm going to be Connor's guest.
Nice.
On the podcast, and we're going to record it this week because it's a school thing, so he has a deadline. But I wonder if we should both be guests.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
I wonder if do you think his teacher could handle us?
Probably not. Because
I wonder if his teacher is the kind of person who like wants things to be true.
We're going to get his teacher's name and then constantly drop it in the interview. Yes. Just like our favorite person, Mr. or Mrs. or Miss Frankenfurter, right, said in her class.
I'm going to be like, when I was at Chili's last week with Mrs. Tribeca.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I was at Arby's last night with Mr. Soundstreet, and he was telling me how much he loves the movies.
Yeah. All he ever does is talk about that podcast.
Are you going to give me any props for coming up with those two stellar last names on the fly?
No, those are, I mean, history will probably write about this. In the podcast.
It was Mr. Soundstreet.
And
that's pretty, I forget the first one. It was Mrs. something.
It was so good. It was so good. You couldn't even keep it in your head. Mr. Soundstreet and Mrs. I don't know. Whatever.
But take me at my word. It was awesome.
It was good. Hey, that's awesome. Congrats to Connor, man. And having the big Penster on it. Oof.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think I applaud him for taking the initiative to, you know, write in and go for it. I think that's awesome. Yeah, good for him.
I can't believe he can afford you. That's the crazy part.
He hasn't gotten the bill yet. I'm going to send it to Mr. Soundstreet.
All right, so we also got a letter from Chelsea. And she said,
woo-hoo!
I know. She says it's great to be back in the theaters. She was thinking about taking her mom to go see that Kevin Costner film. And as I reported, my mom thought that Kevin Costner was hot on the AARP magazine. So her mom probably down with Kevin Costner too. So that's cool. And she had this, I mean, she just snuck this right in there.
Do you think she was drunk when she wrote this?
No, I think, you know how.
Do you think she had been struck in the head by some kind of like heavy object or something?
I think that, you know how people reach a sense of pure euphoria right before they become like completely spiritually enlightened and raised to a new level. I feel like she was like right on the cusp, and she just she slipped it in about how her AirPods died, and she's like, and they died right before, I'm sure David was about to make a witty comment, to which I took as David is witty. And just been walking around on that high for a little bit. Ain't no thing.
I picture you like walking up to like wherever you walk up to and be like, hey, what's up? I'm witty.
Yeah. Proof. I have proof. And I pull up the email. See right here. This lady I've never met.
So Chelsea had a question. Are you going to answer her question, or did we answer her question in email?
No, she wanted to know what the Nicolas Cage movie was.
Yeah, because we were talking about how Nicolas Cage plays himself. Right. And then we got off on a tangent, and a little bit of a risky tangent. And he has to live up to his onstage persona. Yeah. And what movie was that where we watched? Did we watch a trailer, or we just talked about the premise?
We just talked about it.
But that's what Chelsea. That's what Nicolas Cage was about to do. Was he had to play Nicolas Cage in a movie where something awful happens, and everybody in the room needs him to like be an action hero to save the day.
Yeah. I'm looking for it here. It would be. Oh, looks like you overwrote the notes for last week. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to Google it. But he's playing himself as himself, playing all of his roles to their max. So
I think we agreed it looked pretty promising.
Yeah, it's a great idea, especially for Nicolas Cage, because who else does he play better than Nicolas Cage?
Right.
So, all right. Well, let's get into what are you watching, what are you reading, what are you doing? And now, hold on, let me just add my note for prosperity here. Let's see if I can get it proper size. All right, hold on. Ready for this?
Oh, my God.
Why isn't it printing?
Because it knows it's a bad idea.
Yeah, there we go. See if I can get that big enough for you. Because last week we talked about how when I spoke about The Mandalorian, I made it a nice large all caps. So I just wanted to go ahead and do that again. And I've seen this marked replied written about in other ways. But these last two episodes of The Mandalorian may be the best that Star Wars has produced. Since like in the last like 7 or 8 years, the best stuff. It's good. Pen.
You know what I'm noticing online?
What's that?
The cool kids don't even call it Mandalorian. They just call it Mando.
Mando. Whoa. I guess I'm just not cool enough. Those cool kids.
I think you're super cool.
I love it's now highlighted in bright orange in a special font and everything, so we can't escape Mandalorian is on the list. Outside of that, I haven't been reading or doing much of that type of stuff this week, just kind of living life.
Well, I pulled up and enjoyed a movie or a limited series that I feel like the whole internet has been talking, or certainly Facebook has been talking a lot about. Is it Anna Joy Taylor? Is that her name?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's Anna Joy Taylor. She was
in Queen's Gambit.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, our family, all four of us watched it together, and all four of us loved it. I mean, it's so good. It's a little bit, it has a similar look as The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but of course it's nothing like it, and it's so stylish, and the plot is amazing, and the story is amazing, and just everything about it is good. So that's the only thing I'm putting on my list is the Queen's Gambit. That's what we watch. We're dipping into a lot of old sitcoms, Cheers, Seinfeld. I don't know why we're sort of on this TV kick, but we are.
Nice, nice. I almost started that last night, and I decided I was too tired to get into
it. I recommend it. Don't start it when you're too tired. Start it when you can, you know, really dig into it.
That's what I thought. I'm gonna be awake, fully awake and aware for this situation. So, all right. So next week we're gonna watch Mystery Sky, eh?
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, maybe we'll watch Midnight Sky instead. Can we do that?
Oh, well, either one. You watch Midnight Sky. I'm going to watch Mystery Sky. I kind of want to, like, go find a movie named Mystery Sky and then watch it just to irritate you.
Well, there's a music video.
I'm excited to watch Midnight.
That's what I got wrapped into.
I'm going to watch Midnight Sky starring George Clooney. And that opens at Penn Cinema on Friday. And you can watch it then on Netflix in Christmas, when you can watch it on the same TV that you're watching Wonder Woman on.
Whoa.
We have somebody in my life who I try not to be upset with, who is clearly anti-theatrical. So I'm going to just let them enjoy watching TV at home, and they can add this to their little watch list. And those of us who appreciate movies as they were meant to be seen can, you know, it's also another indication that you're a true movie fan is when you have a movie podcast and you keep it going for 98 weeks. You don't quit when there's a pandemic.
Oh, snap. These are some harsh words.
I'm just saying.
Harsh.
I'm just
harsh
saying.
Words.
All right. So Midnight Sky starring George Clooney next week. I think that'll be a good one.
Cool. All right. So look, if you want to be a part of the show, best way to do that is go ahead and shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. You know, you'll hear from us. We're going to talk about you. No problem. But if you want to support the show, what's the number one way people can do that, Penn?
The best way that you can do that is to head down to your local pawn shop. And for their very best telegraph machine.
Uh-huh.
And then what you do is you take that telegraph machine to your home, and all you have to do, it's super simple. You take like a piece of copper wire, not too thick but not too thin, and you run it from your house to all your neighbors' houses.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Simple.
And then you tap out on the telegraph machine like this. You tap that out in Morse code on the telegraph machine, watch Penn or listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Simple. That's the best way you can support us and help spread the show. It's easy.
Let's end this show this week. Let's end this show this week. See if anybody's still listening to the podcast. I'm going to give 4 tickets. Oh shoot. I got to mail those tickets. I never mailed the last tickets that we gave away.
Oh,
sorry. But this time I really will mail 4 tickets to the person who can tell me from what movie does this famous line come from. Now I'm going to butcher the line, so that's the added twist, is that you got to sort of know it good enough to recognize the quote even misquoted.
Okay. All right.
The line is this: drink your Ovaltine.
Really? Okay. All right. Drink your Ovaltine. That's the line. Can you name it?
Do you know that? Do you know it?
I think I might, but I'm not going to guess it on the show. I don't want to give it away. People got to guess. I'll ask you when we're done recording.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That would be bonkers.
Yeah. All right. Well, podcast@pensima.com if you want to win some passes. That's the way to go. So cool. All right. So once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good cut.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.